Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We've got your Saturday sorted once again. It's the big weekend. Well, it is at least if you're the West Country correspondent, because it's Badger Beer Day and it's West Country weekend. Two good, great days racing from Exeter and Wincanton. And we'll be going through all five live ITV races at Wincanton, including the historic Badger Beer Chase and the Rising Stars, where we get to see potentially one of Paul Nicholls' leading young prospects or novice chase prospects for the season. We're also going to go to head to Aintree, where we've got first race of the season over the Grand National Fences, a really good Grand Sefton to look forward to. That's one of two live ITV races there. And don't forget, the flat season's not quite done yet. We've got three live races from Doncaster to look at, including the November Handicap. Joining me on the show to dissect the weekend action, we've got our betting editor, Keith Melrose, handicapper, Johnny Pearson, and replacing Ed Nicholson, we have Unibet's Brett Williams. Let's get straight stuck into the action. And it's got to be Wincanton to start. Of course it has, because I'm incredibly biased. Now, the ground is going to be a key factor here. It's good to firm, good in places on the chase track, good to firm in places on the hurdle track. There's a little bit of rain around, but not too much. It's been pretty dry conditions in the southwest, and just seven runners in our first race. This is the 330, the 64th Badger Beer Handicap Chase, one of the old sponsors in jumps racing as it stands. And your favourite at 9-4 is Art of Diplomacy. 300 through 5 at 11-4. Gustavia 9-2 for Anthony Honeyball, won this race not too long ago. Scarface for Joe Tizard at 13-2. Soul Icon at 7s. Credo, another four Honeyball at 17-2. And your outsider at 22-1 is Tommy Bowe. Keith, we love talking to you in the big handicaps. But this field, it's not quite what we're expecting when we look ahead to a big handicap chase.
No, seven runners, just, and you know, it's as soon as firm gets mentioned in the going, you know, jumps trainers react like a cartoon elephant that's seen a mouse. So we've got many runners in it, and you can either make it really complicated or you can make it really simple, I think. You know, we've got, I could argue that Tommy Bowe at 22-1, the race is that bad, he shouldn't actually be as big as that. You know, he's got form from just this spring that makes him well handicapped off this mark. He's been third in an Eider not too long ago. I think it was 2024 it was. So he's not, he should be 33s for a Badger Beer, but not for this one. And the same, I mean, I sit here and think a lot about Scarface. Is he going to stay 3 miles? Has he always wanted it? I'm not sure he has. And that wind operation he's had since his last run as well. He's a horse that's always seemed to want something like that, I think. Or you can just go 300 through five, going to pick them up and carry them. The three times in the last 7 years, this race has gone to the top weight, twice, right enough, ridden by good conditionals, which was, you know, it gave Al Dancer a word last year, but mostly because of Callum Pritchard. He was just coming through then, and, you know, we now know a year on that him claiming seven off a horse's back was stealing. So yeah, but 300 through five, you look at the races he runs in. He runs in the National, he runs in the Bet365 Gold Cup, he's running in all the big races. He gets, his strike rate when he was a younger horse was actually really quite good because he was bullying lesser horses. I'm not convinced about this horse in a battle, to be honest, but his strike rate when he's against lesser horses speaks for itself. And that's what he's got here. There's a good chance he just picks them up and carries them. So how I exactly play it, I'm not yet sure. But yeah, I think it's a race you can either make very complicated or very simple.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, I've certainly liked the chance of 300 through five, mostly because I think he's a lot better this way round as well. But he is 11-4. Let's bring you in, Johnny. Johnny, you're always giving us international tips, Australia, Ireland, and all the French form throughout the course of a postcast this year. It's good to have you in the West Country this weekend. What do you like in the Badger Beer?
It was interesting that Keith mentioned Tommy Bowe. I was looking at the form and thinking, well, he's definitely far too big a price for the race. And if you look, 12 months ago, he ran at Sedgefield in October before going to the cross-country race at Cheltenham in the November meeting, which I assume was probably the plan, but that race isn't going ahead due to it being too quick. And maybe this is, you know, plan B. But he was favourite for that race and going pretty well before running out. He's in here with a mark of 135, where 12 months ago he was half a stone higher in the handicap. And with it looking a particularly weak Badger Beer, I think he's got to have every chance off of 135. And he's definitely, I mean, it'd be nice if there are eight runners, but he's definitely an each-way play, even with just a seven in there.
Yeah, so Tommy Bowe, the rank outside at 22-1 is Johnny's selection here. Let's bring you in, Brett Badger Beer. Always a competitive Saturday handicap. What do you like in it?
Yeah, I mean, you used to be able to sort of look at this race. There'd be 20-odd runners and there might be just something lurking at the bottom of the handicap and, you know, you get a big prize winner of it. But I do think it will very much be between the front two there. 303.5 is an interesting horse. He was placed in this race a couple of years ago off a lower mark. So he's a little bit higher in the weights on this occasion and probably just doesn't win quite as often as you'd like to see. Although Paul Nichols has won this race 11 times. So it's a race that he does tend to target, you know, his smart handicap chasers with. I just think Arthur Diplomacy, he could be the one to side with on this occasion, primarily because he's fit. He's been running throughout the summer. He will like the ground. He probably should have won at Chepstow last time. I was just thinking, if there's ever a time when the favourite might be vulnerable, albeit he is the best horse in the race, I think Arthur Diplomacy will probably take it this time. We are actually super boosting the field in this race, so you will get enhanced odds. But I mean, I agree with everything to a degree that Keith has said. You know, trainers do tend to tread very lightly when the ground is firm. But you know, you imagine if you're an owner of a horse, you know, we're only at the start of November. You can jar these horses up. As we saw with Paul Nichols galloping Coldwell Potter at Newbury, just what, 2 weeks ago, that whole Zach the season now. You know, you don't want to be ruining your season at this stage of the campaign. So I can see why trainers are treading, you know, excuse the pun, very, very carefully, because you don't want to be putting your horse out for the whole of the campaign. But no, I think Arthur Diplomacy is the most likely winner. As I said, he's got good form on the ground and, you know, he's fit from going all summer. So for me, Arthur Diplomacy to beat the favourite in the race where we are super boosting the field.
He is 9-4 for James and Mickey Bowen. Let's move on to the 220 for it. Wincanton, the Boodles, Rising Star, Novices Chase. Not many runners again, but we've got a classy one at the top of the betting. That's Blue King DeRue at 8-11. Cobra Queen coming over from Ireland at 2-1 for Henry de Bromhead. Breaking Cover at 9-1. Right So Tom at 12s. And Settle Down Jill for the Skeletons, 33-1 outsider. Johnny, we've got an odds-on favourite. Are you with or against?
It's very easy to make a case for him based on his hurdle form. But I'm going to have to be against him and go with Cobra Queen for Henry de Bromhead, sending him over from Ireland. You know, you look at his hurdle form and he'd be nowhere near the top of his market. But in his last two runs over fences, she's just been a completely different horse. Absolutely bolted up last time. Arguably, I mean, the handicap you could argue is slightly harsh, but it's a graded race, so that's not really relevant. And I was, you know, for Blue King Doro, for all it was the reappearance last time, it was very disappointing to not win at Newton Abbott. And I'd rather be with the one that won the last two races over fences by a combined total of 15 lengths. And it's the favourites here for the taking, I think.
Okay, so you are going to take on the favourite with the Irish Raider. Keith, Paul Nichols has won this with some very good horses in the past. I think Sylvan Yarka Conti being possibly the star name of them all. Froden won this not too long ago as well. Blue King DeRue is a classy horse in his own right, isn't he?
He is, and, you know, possibly Nichols' biggest hope this season. You know, Nichols doesn't have as many of the big guns as he used to have, and this horse, having been a 150 plus hurdler, must be one of his main hopes for the season. And it's the sort of horse that Nichols sending this over fences 15 years ago, you'd expect in grade ones. And this horse, we're going to have to see how he goes this season. A bit like Johnny, the market was so positive about him when he ran at Newton Abbott. And I inferred from that risking the ground was just getting a sighter for the Paddy Power or something. That's what I assume is going to happen. I assume he runs in that race next week. And he wasn't thought fit at Newton Abbott. He beat Blue King DeRue and he beat him. He travelled better than him too. You know, he looked the better horse all the way through the race, which would be a worry for Blue King DeRue. You know, Nichols plays the long game a lot. You know, this horse could still be 155 at the end of the season. But in the short term, that worries me, especially when I'm being asked to take 8-15. So I think the play in the race is a small lay on Blue King DeRue. Cobra Queen's very solid, very progressive horse, so she is, and bred to be a better chaser. So you can start to explain that improved form of late. Breaking Cover is similarly taken to fences beautifully and improving his form all the time. For Anthony Honeyball, who, if Nichols didn't exist, you'd think you'd associate this meeting with Anthony Honeyball in recent years. You know, he does get horses ready for this this time of year in this meeting at Texas, at Wincanton specifically. So I'm laying Blue Kangaroo to small stakes.
Okay, so we're two taking on the favourite Blue Kangaroo. Are you going to complete the hat trick, Brett?
To be honest, I've not got a massive interest in it. I do think the favourite is obviously when they've all got to catch. You'd like, probably would have liked to have seen him win at Newton Abbott last time, just to sort of come into this race off the back of a debut success over fences. But, you know, risking the ground, just sort of jump made all, and, you know, Blue Kangaroo was just always sort of playing catch up all the time. But on the other side of the coin, that might just have sharpened him up a little bit. You would imagine they would have done plenty of scoring with him since at home. On hurdles, he's by far the best horse in the field. And if he can transfer that to fences, as Keith said, he could sort of take quite high rank among the chasers this term. And we are price boosting the favourite in this race. So again, you're going to get some smart odds if you want to go with the favourite, Blue Kangaroo. In a race, I think Paul Nicholls, as you said, he won it with Silvani Alcaconte, Froden as well. Seymour Business won it back in the mid-90s. Bindaria got a national winner, Comply or Die. So it throws up, you know, quite a fair few good horses. I think Paul's won it 12 times. So it's, you know, whatever happens, who wins this race this year, it's always a race just to sort of rewind and watch back, because it does throw up plenty of sort of smart chases going forward.
And you're stepping into Ed Nicholson's role so well with a bit of nostalgia for Seymour Business there, Brett. Done very well indeed. Right, let's look at the last three races at Wincanton. A quick spin through. They are the 110 at Wincanton, the Reed Mega Nichols blog at BetMGM Handicap Chase, the 145, the BetMGM Paul and Richard Barber Memorial Mares Handicap Hurdle. A lot of trainers in the West Country do like to target this race. And the 255, the BetMGM Elite Hurdle, where there's another odds-on favourite in Roubaud for Paul Nicholls. Let's just come to you, Brett. You can start this time. We'll just touch on the Roubaud race. I mean, 1-3, it's going to be one of the ones in all the accumulators on Saturday afternoon, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, he won the race last year before going chasing, and of course won over fences last year. He's back over hurdles here, having won at Kempton last time. Not sure what they're going to do with him. He's actually entered in a handicap chase at Ascot in 2 weeks' time, so maybe this may be a sort of a stepping stone to that. It's a race that used to sort of have quite an impact on, you know, future, you know, top class championship races. It doesn't just sort of quite have the status and the prestige as it used to. But it's, you know, it's an interesting race in its own right. I think that Roubaud will mostly take the beat. And if you look at the 10 past one, we've got a price boost in that. And in that mare's race at 145, where Jubilee Alpha is around sort of 13-8, I think she could be a bit shorter. She's got some very, very smart form. We will be top industry price every single runner in that 245. So price boost the 110, and also top industry price in the 145 at Wincanton as well.
Yeah, you touched on the Elite Hurdle there. Perhaps it's not the race it used to be. Let's talk about the Kingwell Hurdle for a second. Brett, you've got to remember, the first two home in that were also the first two home in the Champion Hurdle. So maybe that is the race to follow.
What happened to her at Wetherby last week?
Yes, well, maybe not quite the same form strength last week. Keith, what do you like in those three races? Anything catch your eye?
Yeah, I might have a little look at the 110 novice handicap chase. Or it's not even for novice, it's a full-blooded handicap chase, but we've got a horse here that's come from a hot novice handicap chase at Kempton. The race that Bluey won, you might have seen that race. You know, Bluey was jumped very well, made just about every yard of the running, looks quite a nice prospect. Sava was fourth in that race, travelled pretty well. It had all the hallmarks of a horse just getting started over fences. You know, Richie McLernan was not hard on him once the winner got away. This horse is bred to be a better chaser. It's a chasing family, half brother to C'est La Vie, who beat Zanaheed over fences, and just a horse that's going to get better over fences as time goes on. Quite telling, I think, that they've shoved him into open handicap company at this stage. It underlines the idea to me that Kempton was a sighter, and at decent enough prices, I see post decks, I'll be having a really good look at Sava in the 110.
Sava in the 110 for Keith. Anything catch your eye, Johnny?
I was vaguely interested with Tapley in the 110. Obviously, he's had three runs over fences and hasn't, you know, set the ground on fire, so to speak. But over hurdles, he's a 120 plus horse, and he's running here for a mark of 109. They've gone for a tongue tie. If, you know, provided the 2.5 miles isn't an issue, and he does come on for that run at Plumpton last time, I can see him outrunning his price 6-1. I think he looks a fairly solid bet each way selection.
Okay, and the only other race is the 145, the Paul and Richard Barber Memorial. I think Beth Page could be the one here myself. I thought this horse was improving all the way. Didn't run particularly well in the race last season, but Jubilee Alpha, first start of the season, just a little bit too short for me. I'd want to take her on with Beth Page for Emma Lavelle. We will be heading to Aintree and the Grand National Fences after this short break. Okay, we are really jumping now because we're heading to Aintree and the Grand Sefton Handicap Chase. The ground at Aintree is good, soft in places, and we've got a real belter in the Grand Sefton, headed by White Rhino at 9-2, joint favourite with King Turgeon, winner of the race last year. Johnny Who, been a horse many people have been following this one, at 6-1. Gabriel at 8-1. Our Power, I'm sure Brett will have some insight on his chances at 17-2. Excello at 10s. Colonel Harry, a bit of a mouthful for me, at 12s, along with Jet Plane. Frero Bamboo, 12-1. Also, Brett, you've got some sort of involvement in Our Power. Just to remind us that involvement and the chances in the Grand Sefton.
Yeah, so I'm lucky. I do a lot of work for James and Gene Potter. We've got a half share in this horse with Di Walters, Our Power. I was talking to Sam Thomas about 3 weeks ago, and he said, I really wish the Grand Sefton was tomorrow because this horse is absolutely flying. And, you know, you're looking at sort of runners that don't want to go on the fast. It's not particularly fast ground at Aintree. There's plenty of cut in the ground. He does handle pretty much any sort of going as long as it's not extreme heavy conditions. This is an ideal race for him, I think, first time out. 2.5 perhaps might just be on the sharp side for him. He is better over three. In fact, he even ran in the Grand National, got ran round there, finished 11th. But they're going to jump and sort of try and sit very handy on him, make it a good test of stamina. He jumps very, very well. He won the race, what was the old Racing Post Chase a couple of years ago, off a pound lower marks. He's off 1.42 today. And there's, you know, there's lots of ticks in the right boxes for him. He didn't manage to win last season, but if you look at his form, he ran some cracking races in defeat, notably placed behind Sabermate Katati Dori in the Racing Post Chase last year at Kempton. So yeah, plenty to like about him. I know that Sam Thomas is very, very confident of a good run. His team are in flying form. I think he had a couple of winners at Hereford in the week, and you know, he's banging in the winners left, right and centre. And Unibet are paying five places each way in that Grand Sefton as well. So plenty of ways if you want to get involved each way. But for me, Our Power, who has been very well backed as well, along with White Rhino, a lot of money for that horse, just talking to our trainers a few moments ago. So White Rhino, the best backed in the race. And now I've tipped Our Power, who'll probably take a right walk in the market, back to 33s.
Thanks very much for that one, Brett. Keith, the Grand Sefton at Aintree, talk us through your thinking.
It's a few horses. I mean, the reason King Turgeon and White Rhino have gravitated to the top a little bit is because they are two of the interesting horses that are actually here to run a full-blooded race. Johnny Who is, I assume, going to go for the Grand National, and this is to give him a sighting over the fences. Very interesting horse this year, no doubt. I thought he might be the Beecher winner a couple of months ago before trainers started coming out with all their all the running plans, but it looks like they're going to use the Grand Sefton as a sighter for the National instead. Two, I'm interested in at prices. This time, sort of last year, I was very much against Colonel Harry in the Coral Gold Cup because I thought people were seeing That's All Right Gino, where I saw a horse that was never going to stay 3 mile 2. He jumped three upsides in that Coral Gold Cup, but he made a mistake and fell out the back of the telly, finished 11th in the end. He's only run once since there, and he fell at Cheltenham. We still don't know how good this horse is. You know, he's jumped three out in a Hennessy upsides. You know, he's clearly a good horse. He's now rated £4 lower than that. And if he gets a clear run at his racing this year, could do a fair bit of damage in a good 2.5 mile, or even maybe just about a 3 mile handicap. He gets a chance here off double figures odds, because if he'd run in this race last year, he'd have been 11-2 favourite, I think. So I don't see any reason to... And he's the only anti-post bet I've had this week, Colonel Harry. Really thought he was a big price earlier this week, and he's still pretty much the same price, maybe a point or two shorter. If I like him, I've also got to put in a positive word for Excello, who had a very similar profile towards the end of last season, in that in his second last run, he plainly didn't stay. He was beaten a length by Holy Joe Smoke at Sandown, finishing fourth, but he was only beaten a length, travelled the best, didn't get home. I don't think he's a 3 miler. And then he ran in the Topham here at the Grand National meeting. He jumped two out again. He wasn't upsides, but he was maybe a length or two off the lead, two out, nearly fell. And that was the end of him. Again, fell out the back of the telly, beaten a long way. but a lot to like about how he took to the national course that day. So if I like Colonel Harry, I've got to like Excello for similar reasons, so I'll be getting him on side too.
Okay, so that's Colonel Harry at 12-1, could well be a good bit of each way value, and Excello at 10s for Keith. Finish it off, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be playing two in this race, both each way. Back in April on the final day of the jump season, I was very keen on Mahon's Glory for Dylan Cunha, who's obviously much more associated with flat horses. But had he not just jumped out to the left the whole way around at Sandown and jumped a bit better, he would have beaten Marker Gold that day, who's not run to that same level on two runs since. But there is two runs back, and one must assume that this has sort of been in the thinking for a while. He's here off a mark of £2 lower than that Sandown run. Going left-handed, sure to be a positive. And a price of, was it, sort of about 20-1 looks far too big. So definitely Mahon's Glory each way. And the other one is Vintage Fizz. He was second in the race last year. Has been a bit disappointing, but it's £3 lower here, whereas King Turgeon's favourite won the race last year, beaten by 3 lengths, and he's £12 higher. So it's a £15 swing between the pair of them. And the prices are miles apart when you know Vintage Fizz, okay, probably needs everything to go right for him. But you know he goes round well the course and distance. And he shouldn't be that much a bigger price than King Turgeon. So they're two each way plays for me.
Okay, Vintage Fizz at 14s. Could well be value for Johnny. We'll move on to the 12:55 at Aintree, the Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle. Another qualifier for the big one in March. And your favourites are at 7-2, three of them. Kintara, the Lord Maid, and Chasing Fire. Catarte Dore at 5-1. We've touched on the form of Sam Thomas. Could he continue at a Derm? At 13-2, Impostoir at 15-2, and Crabelli at 11-1. It's that time of year, Brett, where we switch from Richard Hannon to Nicky Henderson. What do we know about his chances here?
Yeah, I've literally just got off the phone from him about half an hour ago, so I should probably sort of what he said about Excello as well. He does like Excello, to echo Keith's sentiments. Actually, he worked at Newbury, Excello did, about 10 days ago with Dodgy the Great, who actually ran quite a nice race at Wetherby last week, and Ginny's Destiny, who may run at Cheltenham or may even run in the Betfair Chase. But yeah, so he's had a nice away there, so Excello should be pretty sharp, and I know he's quite confident of a good run from him. Impostoir, on the other hand, hasn't been away to work. And he says he doesn't know what sort of form he's in because he's the most laziest workhorse in the yard. You just never know what you're going to get from him. In fact, I even went for that gallop morning at Kempton just before Cheltenham last year. He worked there with Lulamba and a few of the other horses. And even on that day, without the racegoers there, you'd expect him just to wake up a little bit. But he's still just sort of lobbed along at the back of the pack. So he is a bit habitually slow workhorse. But when he sort of comes to the track on race day, he brings his A game. So he's interesting. He's obviously got top weight. He's got a big horse. So you think he should be able to handle it. But it looks, there's only 7 runners, but it looks quite a competitive little Potemps. And they've got to finish in the first 4, haven't they, to qualify, where you think sort of Impostoir you'd imagine would finish in the money. But no, they're all in good form, and he's had a winner as well. So he knows the team are sort of just reaching peak fitness.
Okay, so potentially one to watch in this one. No selection here from Keith. Johnny, we'll just come to you quickly. It's a very competitive race. I mean, you look at the three at the top of market, you just want to be with Sean Bowen these days, don't you?
Well, yeah, that can pay quite a lot of the time, as it did with Strong Leader last weekend. I'm not sure anyone else would have got him up to win that race. I mean, it's interesting there. Obviously, it looks like they're abandoning Chasing with Kintara, which I'd say is probably a good idea. But yeah, I mean, it's competitive, but if I had to pick one purely based on the fact that Sean Bowen is riding, it would be Chasing Fire. I mean, obviously, he's got decent form, but having Sean Bowen is worth an extra few pounds taken off a horse, in my opinion.
Okay, let's move on. And we're going to go to Doncaster, where it's soft, heavy in places. We're switching codes. It's flat racing here, and the big race is the 3:45, the Virgin Bet November Handicap, where it's Hopewell Rock at the top of the betting at 11-2, joined by Castle Cove for William Haggis, Lord Melbourne at 13-2, Atherstone Warrior 15-2, Master Vinter 17-2, Stress Free, Grey Cuban, Stress Free is 10-1, Grey Cuban is 12-1, Master Builder 14-1, along with Miller Spirit. Keith, you can start us off. The November Handicap, how do you see this one playing out?
It's not my division. I don't do autumn middle distance races. I've heard the guys in the background talking up hot fuss if anyone's interested in what Robbie Wilders thinks of this race. It's a horse he's very keen on. And it's a horse I know and a horse I quite like, actually. I can't say I've followed much of him this season, but and I don't have a view in this race, but other good judges have been talking up hot fuss, and he's a horse I quite like.
We will take that. We will take that. The Wilders' thoughts on this sort of race is always worth its weight in gold, as is yours, Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a... I mean, I had a look at it, and then having gone through a number of them, which I felt you can make a case for, I decided that I was probably going to be best off not having a bet in the race. But unrelated, Colin Keane is riding for David Menezia, and I do think Master Builder should have a chance. But he's actually over to ride a Judmont two-year-old in the 1250, who is a sibling to Lady Beaufort. So that's one that you might have to keep an eye on elsewhere on the card.
Okay, so Johnny is looking elsewhere. Colin Keane coming over for the 1250. Very, very interesting relation to Lady Beaufort. Just trying to get the name up here of this horse. Leonetto could be interesting for Harry Charlton. Let's go to you, Brett. These boys are sitting on the fence. I hope you're not.
I'm sitting on a chair at the minute. Five places each way for this. So that's the first thing. That's the business end of it, Dan. You know, you said it's soft, heavy in places at Doncaster and what's it, Rockhard Ground at Wincanton. Why don't they just swap the two meetings over, just run the Badger Beer up at Donny and just sort of run these November handicaps down at Wincanton? Lord Malvern obviously won the race last year. He's £13 higher, so he'd have to do sort of, you know, he'd have to sort of obviously produce a career best to come home in front here. Whereas Hopewell Rock is an improving sort. He's unexposed at the trip. Only had one run over it. That was last time, beating a short head. You know, he's probably one you'd have to side with. But I have to admit, like, the November handicap, why do we have it? I don't know. But there we go. We're paying five places each way. So there we go.
Okay. I wonder if Colin Keane would know his way to Wincanton. I imagine you probably wouldn't, Brett. But we'll never know.
I'm sure he can afford a helicopter flying down there.
I'm sure we certainly can. Two more races at Doncaster to look at. The Virgin Bet Support Safer Gambling Wentworth Stakes. This one, a bit of a high-quality sprint. Montesib at the top of the betting. And then the free 10 at Doncaster Virgin Bet, a good bet Irish. EBF Gillies Phillies Stakes at free 10. Johnny, what do you like in these two?
Well, the 125 is the 6 furlong race. And Montesib's also obviously interesting. You know, soft ground at Ascot. 12 months ago, he ran very well behind Kind of Blue in the Champion Sprint Stakes. But he's a very short price based on his two runs back this season, which haven't been disgraceful by any means, but they've not been as good as I would have liked to have seen. But then you've got Apollo 1 I cannot pronounce the trainer's name, but I know who it is, so I'm not going to say. And the ground is soft, and he was second by Shorthead on the Group 3 at Ascot last time he ran. And he's only up £1 for it. And given the price differential between the pair of them, I'd much rather be with Apollo 1 there. And then in the Philly Stakes, the listed race at 3:10, Danielle's been solid performer all season, ran perfectly well in the Phillies and Mares on Champions Day, ran well at Goodwood in the summer, ran well at Doncaster like at the end of last year at the same time. And I can see her putting in another big run, and she probably should be winning. I'd be disappointed if she didn't.
Okay, so that is Danielle in the 3:10 and Apollo 1 in the 125 for Peter Charalambos, Mr. Pearson. Brett, what offers have you got for us and any movers in these races?
Yeah, so first of all, in the 125, the Wentworth Stakes, a 6 furlong listed event, if you back the second or third, money back as cash. I quite like Spycatcher in that. You know, I think he's got some smart form for Carbrook, you know, stepping into listed or back into listed company. Of course, the distance winner of the Cameo's Trophy last year. So Spycatcher for me in the race, as I said, where we are money back as cash. Richard Hannah's got Surkay. She's a real tough nut, her. She might not be quite good enough to win, but she always runs a good race. She's won at the track before, so she could run well at a biggest sort of price. And then in the finish race at 3:10, five places each way. Big market move here for Anna Swan, who used to be with Sir Michael Stout, now with William Haggis. I think she had 3 or 4 runs for the trainer. Hasn't won, but she ran nicely at, I think, Yarmouth last time. Clearly, better things are expected from her. And I quite like Albertine in that for Saeed Bin Saror. You know, she's still quite an exposed filly. She's only been running over a mile. She ran over a mile and a half in the Oaks. step back down to a mile. She's now over a mile and a quarter. I think she could be quite interesting. I wouldn't be surprised to see her go well. She was quite badly hampered last time. So, you know, Saeed, we love to see Saeed have a couple of winners because he's not got the most horses then anymore. So, yeah, I think our team could go well. But by far in that race, Anna Swan is definitely the best backed.
Yeah, Elwood Team was quite an interesting horse at the start of the season, for sure, potentially finishing it on a high. And finish it off, Keith, you've got one in the sprint for us at 125.
I do, yeah. There's a Q&A recently on the recent post site that I did, and I was asked who my favourite horse ever was, and I'm the wrong man to ask. Very few horses gets me sentimental, but the one that sprung to mind actually was Apollo 1. Just tries like a bear every time he runs this horse. Just such a likeable horse. And Johnny's right on his form. You know, this time last year, he was second in the Portland and then went on to win that Group 3 being off at Ascot. And he's done pretty much the same this year. He was second in Portland and then was second, just done a short head by Anaf in the Bengoff. So he's clearly in as good form as this time last year. They've done the same as they did last year in that they've had a busy summer and then kept him back, kept a little bit in reserve for the autumn, because at a time when all the other horses are over the top, this lad just, he just wants to, I get the impression he'd run every day. He just tries so hard all the time, and he shouldn't be that sort of, he is utterly bankable at a time of year where the reason I don't do as much betting on the flat at this point is so few of the horses are reliable. He's a brilliant each way bet, Apollo 1 for me. And I hope he beats Montasib, even though Montasib does have a better chance if he turns up in his best form. But, you know, who's coming in here with a more appealing recent profile? It's not Montasib. It's not the horse that's 13-8. It's the one that's 7-1. So, yeah, Apollo 1 each way.
Two selections for Apollo 1 in our 125. We'll be getting our best bets after this short word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, so we've got our naps to come, but before we do, just a few selections outside of the ITE races. Keith, take it away. What's caught your eye?
Yep, so the last sprint handicap of the turf season is at Donny as well. It's a 2.35, and there's a horse that's been on my list since, I think it's been since before the Ebor meeting. Just hasn't had things go his way really since. It's Milford, who is second to Prince of India at the Shergar Cup. Just risen the ranks this year, and since then he's run at the Ebor meeting, he's run in the Ergo Cup, I don't think he was in the right place there, and he ran here a couple of weeks ago and he missed the break and he pulled hard at a funny old race, that one that Fine Interview won. So for me, Milford is getting one more go on the last big sprint handicap of the season at 2.35, and there's also, I'm going up to Kelso, which is the sort of the meeting we've not covered here today. There's a really interesting trainer change now. David Bridgewater has in his time been a good trainer. He's had Gold Cup seconds and all sorts. Struggled in recent years, you know, not a winner at all last season. And Dom of Mary has gone from him to James Owen and is running in the 117 at Kelso. Very interesting trainer change. I'll be keeping a close eye on how the market goes on this, because even though Bridgewater was having a shocker last year, this horse still ran a perfectly good race to finish 8th in the Kim Muir. And he also came as close to anything in the yard to winning a race, because he was second in the Sussex National at Plumpton. So a horse that kept his form at a time when the yard was struggling badly is a good sign. And now he's gone to a yard that is on the opposite trajectory. You know, James Owen is always on the up and up. And obviously Nathan Howie, the jockey, is doing exactly the same. He's got a really good strike rate for Owen. Owen's obviously identified him as a claiming rider to follow and to use his claim advisedly for now. So yeah, watch out the market from Dom of Mary in the 117 at Kelso.
Yep, so Keith's two selections there, Dom of Mary, as he says, in the 117 at Kelso, and Milford in the 245 at Doncaster. Right, time for our best bets. And well, it's West Country weekend. I'm the West Country correspondent, so I'm going to go first. And I'm going to go 3/5 in the big race at Wincanton, the Badger Beer at 3:30. This horse, I feel, just will be too good for him in what isn't the strongest race. He loves going this way around. Wincanton should suit him well, and we know Paul Nicholls loves to win this big race. A 3/5 for me. What's yours, Johnny?
It is going to be Cobra Queen in the 2/23 at Wincanton, I think, based on what I've seen so far. She's very progressive. I'm not convinced by Blue King Doru. Cobra Queen in the 2/23.
Keith?
It was nearly Seva in the 1/10 at Wincanton. I might look a right clever so-and-so by the end of the season by putting that horse up, but it's still a little bit early to putting up such inexperienced chasers. So I'm actually going to go to the one that's the bet today, and that is at Doncaster. It's in the Wentworth Stakes, and it's Apollo 1 each way.
At 1/25. And finally, you, Brett.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Aintree for the Grand Sefton at 2/40 in a race where Unibet are paying 5 places each way. It's a horse called Our Power, trained by Sam Thomas. The horse is coming nicely down the handicap now. The trainers, I think, got a 63% strike rate over the last 14 days, so they couldn't have the yard in any better form. So Our Power for me in the 2/40 at Aintree.
Perfect. Thank you very much to our guests. That is Keith Melrose, Johnny Pearson and Brett Williams from Unibet. And thanks for you for watching along as well. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe if you're a fan of the show. And if you want a bit more jumps action, do make sure to check out our big jump off content available on Racing Post YouTube channels. But do join us again at 7 o'clock next Thursday, because we'll be previewing Cheltenham. It's the November meeting, the Paddy Power meeting, one of the big highlights of the season. So many top class races, so many big clues for the rest of the season that we'll be finding out there. But until then, do enjoy your weekend. Goodbye, and of course, gamble responsibly.